All right, it is good to see everyone on this Sunday in July. We are again looking at God's promise to answer prayer. We're going to begin again in Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3, and I'm going to repeat some of the things I said last week, because, you know, sometimes we can take things for granted, and this is a simple message. And the simple message is God answers prayer. And that's just not a bumper sticker. You know, it's not just something I'm saying. I said last week in the message, people need to know that God answers prayer. And I was reading something, not only on this promise, I was really reading on Romans 8:28 this week in a book that I was given. The whole book is on the promise of Romans 8:28, that all things work, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And the statement was made about the promises of God. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said once that if the constellations and the stars only appeared one night every 100 years, what a big deal that would be. Man, people would go outside. They'd all stand there. It'd be a clear night. And they would look up at those stars, and their breath would be taken away. And I started thinking, I said, well, what if it only happened once every 10 years? People still would go out. And man, the media would make a big deal about it. Folks would have parties and special plans. And man, they would stand and look at the stars. And then I thought, what if it happened once a year? Just once a year. Oh, this is the night. And everyone would know about it and everyone would go out and look at it. Well, probably in the last 2 weeks, we have had 5 of the clearest summer nights I've ever seen. Usually in the wintertime, there's no humidity and it's so clear. And I would tell Patty, I'm going out tonight to look at these stars. Because I pray and I'm mesmerized and awed by how privileged it is to live in Wayne County and not be around lights and be able to see all this wonder. But Emerson went on to say, because the stars are out every night, people don't give them a second thought. No big deal. I mean, these are millions and billions of constellations, light years away, and we can see them. It's an incredible miracle of creation. I'm going to watch the TV. But he went on to say that's the way it is with the promises of God. What if this verse I'm about to read to you says, call upon me and I will answer you. On the 10th of Nisan every 10 years. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose on the 5th of Nisan once a year. What if the Hebrews said that? But because it says every day, every moment, every thought, God has made Himself available to us, we kind of negate. We neglect. And we don't allow these promises to change our whole perspective on life. I want to tell you right now, whatever it is you're going through, God answers prayer. Amen. And He answers your prayer today. And He'll answer it next week. And He'll answer it in the next 5 minutes. And we don't want to take this for granted. So Jeremiah 33 verse 2 says this. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I'll not only answer you, I'll not only give you a pint when you're praying for a gallon. I'll not only give you an ounce, my friend, when you're praying for a whole bushel basket. I will give you and show you great and mighty things that even go above and beyond what you're asking for. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. What a promise from God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I pray right now for forgiveness of sin, a daily cleansing weekly of those sins that I confess to you. I just confessed out loud in that apartment before I came over. And I ask, Father, that you would wash me in the blood. And I know you have, but I ask again, Father, wash me in the blood, cleanse me. And I pray for your anointing and your filling to share this truth. And I pray, Father, today that our hearts and minds will be pervaded with an energy and a vigorousness as we study this promise. That we will learn, Lord, that as strongly and as powerfully that you answer our prayers, we can pray as fervently and enthusiastically expecting to receive those answers. So Heavenly Father, give us the concepts. Give us the set minds on these principles, Heavenly Father, the mindset of how to approach with boldness and confidence, of how to see that where our prayers come from and go, and where your answers come from and go. And let us not be superficial in our walk, but let us embrace the divine, the supernatural, and the God who intervenes in our personal lives. We ask Him to change things, and He does. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to share this very quickly because I've shared it 100 times, but I believe it with all my heart. Many years ago, it was 2011, I think it was October, I can remember. I had grilled for Patty and I and Daniel. He was home from college. And I'd had an episode earlier in the week when I was walking up the hill. I lost my breath. I couldn't breathe. And I was on Humira Remicade at the time, but it affects your respiratory system. And I didn't say anything. Because my philosophy is, you don't say anything, it'll go away. I'm not saying it's good, but it's mine. So we finished eating dinner, and we're sitting down to watch a college football game, and it happened to me again. And I could not breathe. But I knew it would come back. Well, this is when we had a landline. Patty's getting ready to call 911, and I can't talk, but I'm saying, I'm wanting her to read my lips that it'll go away. So she doesn't, and I convince her not to. And unbeknownst to me, Daniel texted Joe. And he said, Joe, you need to come check on Dad. I think he may be having a heart attack or something. So about 15 minutes later, our phone rings, and Joe Hall says, I'm just riding out in Collinwood. I thought I'd come by and see y'all. Is that all right? So he not only comes by and sees us, he parks at the door. He backs his truck up to the door. And he comes in and he goes, because I had a blood clot in the jugular. And he had not put me, he had had me on Coumadin and took me off. And so he says, do you want me to take you? He goes, I've got an ambulance at the four-way stop sign. Do you want me to take you or you want to ride in the ambulance? I said, I'd rather ride with you, Joe. It ain't that big a deal. So he goes, all right. So he puts me in the truck. We fly on into Waynesboro. We get to the ER. He goes, I know you can walk, but you sit in the truck. I'm going to get a wheelchair. So we go in and he gives me a blood test. And he comes back and he goes, all the numbers are lined up for a blood clot. I'm kicking myself. I should have kept you on the Coumadin. He goes, there's one more. We got to run some kind of an X-ray, C-scan or whatever. He said, there's a remote chance it's going to be pneumonia. But he said, I've never had a case where it was. You're going to be sent on to St. Thomas. And about that time, Lehman came in. And I said, Lehman, I got one prayer request. I want you to pray this blood clot to pneumonia. because I don't want to go to St. Thomas. I want you to change this blood. We're going to pray God changes this blood clot to pneumonia. And all my nurses that I knew were in there. Well, he starts praying and praying and praying. And we're praying pneumonia, because I want to stay in Wayne County. And so anyway, about 10 minutes later, well, Joe had to go back. He was at a birthday party for himself. He had to go back. I got him out of that. But anyway, later on, he calls the nurse's station, and they come in, and they go, Brother Leo, it's double pneumonia and pleurisy. I said, praise God. Praise God. And you will never convince me, because every scientific evidence in his experience said I had a blood clot. But I prayed God would intervene and change that, because pneumonia is a whole lot easier to get over than that blood clot situation that I would have been facing. I believe, and that's just one example. I believe with all my heart that God intervenes and God changes things. And so we got to grab hold of it. And when we're in a situation, maybe it's a test to see if you'll pray that prayer. You're going to depend on him, or you're just going to accept things as they are. But in Jeremiah 33, he says, call unto me, I will answer you. I will show you great mighty things. So God is guaranteeing here, he is committing himself to answer you in direct, specific, and clear ways. Unmistakable ways. And as God is committing himself to you, I want you to understand something. There are several different types of prayer. But what I'm talking about today is petition prayer and intercessory prayer. When I'm praying a petition, I'm saying, God, I need you to help me. When I'm praying intercessory prayer, I'm saying, God, I want you to help Joe. So I'm either interceding for someone else or I'm petitioning for myself in those two types of prayers. I'm not talking about a prayer of communion or a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of praise, but in those two types of prayer. And I want you to understand this. The only reason you petition God and the only reason you intercede for someone to God is that you are asking for an answer. Okay, it's not just a performance. It's not just an act. It's just not something done on the surface. God cannot honor a prayer when there is not a mindset behind that prayer. Like they said about Abraham, he was convinced and persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised and what he and Sarah had asked God to do for 40 or 50 years. He was convinced of that. So when you go to God in prayer, you're asking him for a specific answer. Now, you've got to caveat it with your will be done. You know, I may be praying amiss, but Lord, this is what I feel, this is what I think, and I'm asking because I know you are able to do that. Now, I want to give you again the principle of prayer. The principle of prayer is a divine exchange between you and God. You're asking for something, he's giving you something. That's this type of prayer, petition prayer. I'm asking, he's giving. It is a divine exchange from earth to heaven and then from heaven back to earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 and let me show you the truth of this. It is a divine exchange from heaven, from earth to heaven and then from heaven back to earth. I want you to understand, and people say this all the time, and they'll say, Brother Leo, you know, I don't think my prayers go past the ceiling, and you may be in a place in your life where you're not walking with God, and your prayers may be ineffective. We're gonna look at that in a moment. But I want to remind you of some of the things we looked at. Prayer ascends to God from my heart, and then the answer descends from the throne of heaven back to earth. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, it says this, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, the church has been raptured. We are up there with the Lord. And it says this in verse 7, and when he, Jesus, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors which are the prayers of the saints. Which are the prayers of the saints. They are golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers are not only heard by God, they're not only answered by God, they are stored by God right in His throne. And I want you to understand, I think when we go up there, every effectual and fervent and honest and sincere prayer that we raise up to God will be part of our reward, and we will hear them back to us again. Maybe we'll be the one that gets to open the vial of the prayers we prayed. You know, I don't know. But I want you to know your prayers are that real, and they may leave your mouth as words, but when they get to heaven, they are as incense, they are real, they are tangible, and they are kept in vials at the throne of God. That's how real, that's how powerful a prayer life is and is supposed to be. But you got to get in your mind, I'm asking for a divine exchange, a divine transaction, a divine transfer. Lord Jesus, I'm praying up to you for you to intervene down here in my life or in Jody's life. If I'm praying a petition or if I'm praying an intercession. Now, I gave you four spiritual truths proved by answered prayer. Four spiritual truths proved by answered prayer. Number one, when there's answered prayer, it proves that God exists and God is real. Amen. All right, there are only two ways I know that God is real. Number one, when I get saved, I can tell you for real. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came in my heart. Amen. It happened, it was real. Yeah. I experienced it. Yeah. These things we write unto you that you may know that you possess the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, 1 John 5:13. So I knew that. The second way that I know that I am in relationship with Jesus Christ is as I commune with Him. I talk to Him. I feel impressions upon from Him. I feel His peace move upon me. I feel His conviction move upon me. And I experience answered prayer. And as I told you last week, I experience it. I have an advantage. I realize it. Every Sunday morning when I get in this pulpit, I know God has answered my prayer. Because I've got to have Him, and I've got to have Him working. So it means God exists, God is real, and God intervenes in our personal lives. Alright? When I get an answered prayer, it means God intervenes. I don't know what was in Bobby's body 2 weeks ago or a week ago, but I know I prayed it'd be clear, and it'd be clear, and it'd be clear. And I grabbed hold of God, and many of you did. And I said, Lord, let there be not anything on these scans. And when Sue texted me that there was nothing on those scans, I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Well, maybe there wouldn't have been anything on those scans. Well, maybe there wouldn't have been, but we'll only know when we get to glory. But I'm counting on God to take care of these things. Yeah. And I'm going to grab hold of God. So answered prayer means He's interested in your life, He cares, He listens, He answers. God exists, God is real, and God interferes in our lives, intervenes in our lives, in our personal lives. Number two, and I gave you the verse. It proves that we are in a right relationship with Christ. Answered prayer proves you're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you're walking with me, if you're abiding in my will, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Ask what you will and I will give it to you. So when we're abiding with Jesus, when we're keeping our prayer time up, when we're praying, not my will, but your will be done, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to meld and to mold our prayers, then, my friend, we know that we're in a right relationship with the Lord. So I need clear, direct, and specific answers from God daily, weekly, regularly. Number three, we saw this. Answered prayer brings glory to God. Number three, answered prayer brings glory to God. We're clapping in here today. We're clapping in here about Bobby and Sue. We're clapping in here about Kathy's mom. You know, we're saying, we acknowledge, Lord, that you're the great physician, that you're taking care of folks. Answered prayer brings glory to God. And if you think your life is just a set of happenstance, a set of circumstances, if you think your life is just about luck, if you think your life is secular or humanist or whatever, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. We have a providential God who rules the affairs of man. He sees the end from the beginning. And this world is going to go on under God's pattern, under God's timetable, and your lives are the same way. And you need to be in obeisance unto that God that controls all things. When you pray to move the arm that moves the world. And I want you to understand, I belong to God not only because He created me. I'm not going to stand here and tell you this is my body. I can do anything I want with it, whether I'm a man or whether I'm a woman, because my body is not my body. By the grace of God, He created me. In the miracle of the womb that He formed, I was born. And I'm going to say also, the second point is, I've been born again by the purchase of the blood of Jesus. So I'm not my own. I'm born physical by His creation. I'm born spiritual by the purchase of His blood. I am not my own. So in obeisance unto Him, I'm going to pray to Him. I'm going to ask Him for things. I'm going to seek Him for things. And I'm going to stay under the umbrella of His will in obedience unto God. And your prayer life shows that dependence and it shows that faith. Number four, answered prayer is a powerful witness to the lost. Answered prayer is a powerful witness to the lost. Remember it said Peter prayed over the body of Dorcas. She came back to life and it said, many believed. Many believed. Remember Jesus said, Lord, I'm going to pray that You raise up Lazarus. I'm not praying this for myself, Heavenly Father. He said, I'm praying it for everybody else's benefit. I know that You hear me when I pray. He said, but I'm praying it for their benefit. And then He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came out. And then what happened? Many believed when they saw Lazarus come back from the dead. So faith, not a prayer, answered prayer not only brings glory to God. It is a faith builder. It is a witness to the lost. And many will come to Jesus in salvation. And I'm going to sit here right now and tell you, when you get born again and saved, answered prayer builds your faith. Yes. Amen. When you're praying for God to do something and you're doubting, stop praying right then and go back and start thinking about all the prayers He's answered. Amen. Yes. Start thanking Him for all the prayers He's answered. Yes. And if you think that, you know, I just don't think God can do this or will do this or whatever, you go back and think of the things in your past that God has done, that has been over and above, that has shown you great and mighty things. This one book I'm reading on Romans 8:28, I've read it before, I'm rereading it. Charlie, I think you gave it to me. And it's such a blessing, such a blessing. The pastor actually lives in Nashville, and I highlight things, but I highlighted this whole thing. And he said that he and his wife, when they first went into ministry, the wife was expecting, and things were difficult. And he said, we went to this little church, and we preached, and everything was fabulous. And he said, man, we started telling our friends and relatives, and we started actually making provision to move to this area. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, I got a call from the chairman of the committee and we didn't get to vote. The exact thing happened to me. I quit my job. I knew I was being called to this little church. Adams Run Baptist Church on the banks of the Edisto River in the low country of South Carolina. Beautiful church. It had been there since the Civil War and the church had burned down, so they'd rebuilt it and you could preach and you looked straight out and there was a stained glass window that you looked through and wonderful people. I knew the guy that directed the choir and I told Patty, I said, this is where we're going, man. This is it. This is where we're going. There is no doubt in my life. And God has answered this prayer. And I'll never forget Mickey Ball when he called me. I didn't even get to a vote. He said, there are several on the committee think you're too young to pastor. 24 years old. I was too young to pastor. They were probably right. 6 months later, though, I got it. About 4 months later, I got put in the church God wanted me to be in. So, you know, God answers prayer. And he answers prayer his way. And as long as we're open to that. Now, I was disappointed. I was discouraged. I was angry. I was mad. You know, I think I said, well, Mickey, I hope Jesus, being 33, wasn't too young to save him. You know, how old does a preacher have to be? 60? 70? You know, I get tore up. But now I have learned. You know, God opens door. God closes door. But what I want you to understand, God answering prayer proves he exists, proves he's real, proves he's involved. We're in a right relationship. Answered prayer brings glory to God. Answered prayer is a witness to the lost and a faith builder for us. So, all that was last week. What about unanswered prayer? Yeah. All right, go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. What does it mean when we have unanswered prayer? James chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. I tell you what, I'll go ahead and do verse 2. I was going to do it the other way. I'll do it this way. Says, you desire and lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain it. You fight and war and battle and you have not. Yet ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, let me share with you two reasons for unanswered prayer. But before I tell you those two reasons for unanswered prayer, I want to give you a truth about unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer brings no help to man, and it brings no glory to God. I'm talking about petition intercession. It brings no help to man, and it brings no glory to God. Unanswered prayer. Now, I'm not talking about when we're praying the wrong way and he doesn't answer us. I'm just saying, unanswered prayer brings no help to man and no glory to God. Number one, you have not because you ask not. All right? You have not because you ask not. Now you say, what do you mean, brother? You're not praying. A lot of folks don't pray. Or they don't pray much. Or they don't pray enough. Or they don't lift it up enough to God. They don't ask, they don't seek, and they don't knock. I want you to understand that about Matthew chapter 7. Asking and seeking and knocking are degrees of passion in your prayers. You can ask for something, then you can seek and go to look for it, and then you can get to the door, and you're knocking on that door. It's an intensity, it's a ratcheted up intensity in your asking, in your seeking for prayer. Go with me to Jeremiah 29. We're in Jeremiah 33. Go to Jeremiah 29. Prayer needs to be vigorous, energetic, expectant. In Jeremiah 29, I'll read verse 11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end and conclusion. I've got your life laid out in a plan, just like he did the nation of Israel. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And when you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. So here we go. Ask and seek and knock. You need to pray unto me. You need to seek me. You need to find me. You need to search for me with all your heart. There needs to be an intensity and a singularity of focus in our prayers. E.M. Bounds says, you know, prayer is a discipline. You know, I was talking to Daniel this week about doing curls. And we were talking about different weights on curls. And Daniel said, "Dad, it just kills me in the gym. Most people do curls incorrectly." He said, "You know, they use momentum a lot of times, and they're using their whole body." And he said, "They're handling more weight than they should be handling." And he said, "Most of the time when I do curls, I either do sitting curls or I stand with my back against a wall, so that it totally isolates the bicep." And he said, "I'm not going to do more than 25 or 35 pounds. He said, "I'm not going to try to horse up anything more than that because I want the isolation." And he said, "You're supposed to do it very, very slowly, and you're to concentrate just on that one muscle." And he tells Patty and I stuff like this all the time. And you know, there are a lot of times when you're praying for something, one thing, that Bound says, we've got to practice to be able to do that. Because our mind will go somewhere else. And we're not focused or isolated on that one thing. And I'm going to show you a verse in Habakkuk in a moment. As you're praying about that one thing and you focus on that one thing, if your mind starts going somewhere else, or you think about another situation, or you start getting angry about something, or something else distracts you, you've got to practice and discipline yourself in that prayer closet to stay focused on that one thing. Now, it's very important when you're praying about one thing. Let me show you something else. Go to Habakkuk. Now, I'll wait on you as you look it up in the front of your Bible. See, I cheated. I've got a little card here marking mine. And we're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 2. It's very important when you're praying about that one thing to do this. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: "I will stand upon my watch, and I will set myself upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord said and answered me, write the vision I give you, make it plain, write it on tablets, that he may run with it that reads it. The vision I'm going to give you is for an appointed time." But notice what he says. He is standing. He has already made a request unto God about the nation of Israel as their prophet. And he says, "I will watch to see what he will say unto me." It's very important when you're praying about one thing. Understand, again, it's a divine exchange. I am asking for God to give me. I am outputting to heaven. That's my part. My output to heaven, my output to God, my output to the Holy Spirit within the Holy of Holies. But as you are doing that, you've got to enter your closet with a spirit of reception. As I'm praying about one thing for God's answer, for God's movement, for God's miracle, or whatever it is I'm praying for, I've also got to be still to see if I can listen for the answer. Bound says, one thing we need to learn in the prayer closet: what we've got to say in the closet is not what we've got to say to God in the closet is not as important as what God's got to say to us. Now, I'm not going to take you there, but I'm going to give you an example of what I just said. When you go into the prayer closet and you're asking God to do something, you keep asking Him to do it. And you say, "Well, God's not doing it. God hadn't done it. God hadn't healed me. God hadn't changed their heart. God hadn't done it." Well, keep praying that prayer. But as you pray that prayer, wait for the answer. Now, who gave us an example of that? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul prayed once. He prayed twice. He prayed three times. "God, take this thorn out of my flesh. God, take this thorn out of my flesh. God, heal me. God, heal me. God, heal me." Well, God never healed him. But what did Paul get? He got an answer. Okay? He didn't get the healing, but God answered his prayer. He said, "Paul, I'm not going to heal you, because this thorn keeps you humble. This thorn keeps you a servant to me, and this thorn keeps you in the ministry with the right attitude and the right perspective for me to use you. If I heal you, you may get caught up in pride and end up out of the ministry. Yeah. So, hey, I can go forward with that. Paul could go forward with that. Prayer is a divine exchange. We're going to get an answer from God. It may not be the answer we're asking for, but it's the best answer. Yeah. It's the most wonderful answer. It's the answer from the wisdom of the one that sees the end from the beginning. And so we grab hold of that answer. But God wants us to pray and to pray specifically. And He commits to that. Go with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I shared this last week. He commits this. This is, I'll be honest with you, most of your prayers, if you pray a lot, are good prayers. Yeah. You know, if we're praying for our children to get a good teacher this year, you know, if we're praying, you know, God protect me as I drive to Nashville today, you know, most of your prayers are good prayers. Now, if you don't pray about any of that stuff, you know, if you don't believe the scripture says in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known by God, well, then I can't help it. Everything's everything. All things work together for good. All's all. Okay. You know, I there's only certain aspects I can pray about for Sunday morning. I pray about for each one of our musicians, their spouses. I pray for the music. I pray for the praise music. I pray for the prayers that are lifted up, the requests that are made. I pray for the Bible verses and the teaching that goes out. That's what I pray. And I pray we'll have receptive hearts and the Holy Spirit will move on each of us and we'll hear what we need to hear. Takes me about as long as I just said it. That's how long it takes me to pray it. But that's what I pray. I don't just come in here not praying that stuff. I'd be scared to death. I'm going to walk in here not asking God for all that. And I'm sure not going to get up here and start preaching without praying. You know, and y'all pray for me. Every time I hear a preacher and I notice that, it just puts a sword through my heart. Puts a sword through my heart. I owe Him everything and I need Him for everything. But notice what he says, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and that door will be opened. Everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a man of you asks for bread, I'm going to give him bread. If he asks a fish, I'm going to give him a fish. Verse 11, if you, being imperfect as a father, know how to give gifts to your children, good gifts, how much more? How much more? How much more shall your perfect and loving heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? God is committing Himself to you today. And He is declaring to you, He wants you to ask Him for things. Well, Brother Leo, what if I'm asking Him for the wrong thing? Well, we just covered that. Be still, be quiet, and let Him give you the answer. Be still, be quiet, let Him give you the answer. He'll redirect your prayer. Cameron, I've had my prayers redirected. I want you to understand, Patty and I had a meeting with someone this week, a few folks, and we were sharing with them from a spiritual standpoint. I want you to understand, your life is in seasons. Just like the seasons of nature, your life is in seasons. And there are times you're going to be in a season of prayer about something where God is going to keep you in that season of prayer because He's going to use that one prayer to guide you into other areas to work on certain things in your own life and maybe even to redirect your prayer. But stay with Him. He is faithful. It is going to happen. And if you will listen, He will answer you. And we're to have this confidence and this boldness. But God right there says, ask, and I, who am your loving Father, will give it unto you. Go with me to Psalm chapter 5. David understood this. The psalmist understood this. All the spiritual giants of the Bible, Abraham understood it. Peter understood it. You understand that the Holy Spirit was an answer to prayer. What did Jesus say? Go tarry ye in Jerusalem and pray, and I will send the promise of the Father. So one day when they were up there praying, here came the Holy Spirit. Your salvation is answer to prayer. For whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I need you to save me. That's a prayer. He saved me. Pray about all things. Bring them before the Lord. And you know, let them be clear, specific, and direct. You know, I've got one prayer for Mona. One prayer. I'm praying as she goes for this test, that she'll get in there, that she'll get in there on time, that her and Randy will have peace, that they'll have joy, they'll have a good trip down there. And Lord Jesus, I pray that this test comes back totally clear, above and beyond what we can think or ask. Amen. Now that took me 30 seconds, 20 seconds. That's how you pray. But you pray with some authority and feeling, and you pray with some obedience. You don't pray like that guy on the cartoon, oh, we're all doomed, we'll never make it, Lord help us. You know, or I may pray, you know, Lord, you created Mona's body. You know, I plead the promises. I plead the truth. Lord, you know her body, every cell, every neutron, every proton. You know everything about her, every chromosome. Lord, you touch that body. Lord, you touch that body. And I repeat myself. Oh, Brother Leo, you don't think God heard you the first time? You repeat yourself. Jesus repeated himself. Yes. Verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you. Yes. There's power in redundancy. It deepens us. You know, that's why I understand that song, You're a Good, Good Father. Take me deeper still. Take me deeper still. Take me deeper still. In my prayer life, if I'm not allowing God to take me deeper still, you know, if I start out praying at 8 o'clock in the morning by 8:45, I'm a whole lot deeper with God. And I'm going to come out of that thing. Don't make prayer anything it's not. It's a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. I can have great relationships with y'all. Y'all can have a great relationship with me. I can have a great, wonderful relationship with Jesus. I mean, He's right here. He's holding me up. He's guiding my words. He's filling my mind. He's looking down on me. His Holy Spirit's filling my heart. Every Sunday morning, it's the reality of us walking with Jesus. And all of us do that and have the capable. Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Look at this. You can pray this prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. My King and my God and my authority, my Creator, to you today I will pray. Lord, you're hearing my voice right now in the morning. Lord, it's in the morning and I'm directing my prayer unto you and I am looking up. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Show me the way to go, because the devil is my enemy. There are many traps before me. Lord, make my way straight. Show me before my face so I can know what decision to make. Lord Jesus. Verse 11. Lord, let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. I'm going to shout for joy. You are defending me. You are taking care of my wife, my son, my daughter-in-law. We all love you. We're joyful in you. Lord, you're going to bless us. Help me move in righteousness today. Compass me with your favor every step, Lord Jesus. You can pray that prayer. Grab the Psalms. Fill in the blanks specifically with that kind of a prayer. People say to me all the time, Brother Leo, I don't know how to pray. Do you remember the disciples said that? Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Well, guess what? We not only have the Lord's Prayer, we have Paul's prayers. We got Peter's prayers. We've got the Psalms prayers. We've got all these prayer outlines that we can grab hold of and make them personal unto us. Lord, let my children be like a river, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth their fruit in their season. Whatsoever they do will prosper and will never perish. Lord, you love the way of the righteous, and you will bring favor unto the path of my children. That's Psalm chapter 1. And put your children's names in there. And pray those prayers up unto Jesus. Now, I know God will honor that prayer because it's right out of His Word. So you can use these. Go back with me to Psalm verse 4. Psalm verse 4. See, one of them's a morning prayer. One of them's verse 3 is a morning prayer. Verse 4 is an evening prayer. Verse 5 is a prayer for protection. Psalm 4, verse, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. I pray that prayer a lot about have mercy on me, Lord. Lord, I pray for your mercy today. I'm asking forgiveness and mercy. I'm coming to you. You know what it means you've enlarged me when I was in distress? You know what happens when you're in distress? You feel like the world's closing in on you. You feel like circumstances are closing in. Either they're all over you, burning you, all over your shoulders, or they're squeezing you. And man, when God delivers you out of that, man, I can breathe. You feel like you're in a big wide valley or something. The green grass and the pasture and all that beautiful stuff. So thou hast enlarged me. When I was in it, verse 3, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. You got to have come boldly into the throne of God. And I know this is kind of like that little illustration I gave you about the stars and people taking them for granted. I think there are a lot of people that pray that don't really expect God to hear them or answer them. I think they just pray. Bobby, I think they pray because that's a good thing to do. And, you know, they can tell somebody, well, I had my prayers today. You know, I had my prayers. You know, we need to teach our children, you know, when you're praying, you're getting alone with God, you ask Him for things. And if they're good things, He'll give them to you. And if there's something else He wants to give you, He'll make that clear to you. You need to let them know the simplicity of the give and take and the communication of the relationship. That's what we need to teach, and that's what adults need to know. When we ask amiss, you know, you have not because you ask amiss. What does that mean? Well, I can ask amiss if I'm praying not really expecting an answer. You know, somebody just, I can't remember if I called on Cleo or Cameron, but I called on someone a second ago to pray for Wilmer. I'm praying the same thing for Wilmer. I'm praying God's mercy and God's comfort and God's grace, and I'm praying God's healing and God's miracle or whatever, but those are the things we pray. Those are good things. We pray strength for the caregivers. Pray strength for Jeannie. And you know, and as you go, Jeannie will lift you up. But notice what it says there. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. You know, that's something I can do. You know, I can sin not. I can commune with my own heart upon your bed and be still before the Lord. Let Him speak to your heart. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Go to Psalm 6 very quickly. Look at what he says. Psalm 6 verse 8. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard my voice. I say, Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, I know you've heard my prayer. I know it hadn't been a perfect prayer, but I've prayed it. I thank you for your mercy. I know you've heard it. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. There's a boldness and a confidence in our praying. Now, I'm going to show you one more because Patty mentioned it. Go to Psalm 37. Go to Psalm 37. She mentioned it in her prayer. And I'm just going to give it to you. We studied this Wednesday night. We studied the Hebrew word for delight and some of these things. But it says this, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That means that you enjoy being in somebody's presence. You know, like you say, boy, I'm glad so-and-so came over today. They really lifted my spirit. You know, they really, I so enjoy being around that person. They just bring joy to me. And there are some people you don't enjoy being around because they bring you down. This is where you delight in being in the presence of someone. When are we in the presence of the Lord? Always, but especially in communion. And he says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. And you know, that's where your prayer starts. And God understands that. You pray what you're desiring in your heart. Lord, this is what I want. Now, Lord, if you've got another answer, I'm open to hearing it. And I will wait and be still. But, Lord, this is what I want. I want my family to be together again. I want there to be peace in our home. I want my loved one to be saved. I want my children to be happy and joyful. I want them to do good on a test. I want them to feel good about themselves in an activity. Lord Jesus, I that's one thing I always prayed athletically. I never prayed for success athletically, but I did pray for the young men that I coached that they would enjoy the experience and feel good about themselves in the experience, in the hard work, in what they would accomplish. You know. And so we can pray things like that. Because the bottom line is, we just want everyone to be blessed. So pray the desires of your heart. And God can change them. He can tweak them. But He may give you exactly what you're praying for. I exactly prayed for new moon. I didn't know much about new moon. But my thought was I'd have it in one lung. See, He answered above and beyond. He put it in two lungs and gave me pleurisy in the chest. But that kept me in Waynesburg, where I knew all the nurses, and Patty could run to Emeralds and get me food, and Patty didn't get lost like she did in St. Thomas, and they found her in the parking lot crying and had to get her back up to me, and all those things. We like a little hospital where we know. I'd call Miss Pat and say, Miss Pat, can you check me out of this place? Time for me to go home, feed the cats. But God will grant you great answers. But you need to pray. And you need to expect the answer. Now, let me tell you this, another thing. A lot of times He answers us, and we've so lost our focus, we're not recognizing. You need to be reminded, hey man, I prayed about this, God answered. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your head for a few moments and say, Lord Jesus, is there a prayer I prayed a while back and you answered? Lord Jesus, is there a prayer I prayed a while back and you answered it? And Father, I've gotten so busy, I didn't even notice. I've not even thanked you for it. Lord, remind me maybe of a prayer that I prayed for you and you've answered. And I didn't even stop and say thank you. And tell Him thank you now with heads bowed and eyes closed.